Welcome to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, an hour-long conversation about your health with Atlanta internist Dr. Adrian Douglas. Dr. Douglas has been a fixture at Piedmont Atlanta Hospital for over 20 years. He is a fellow of the American College of Physicians. He also has an MD-VIP-affiliated practice in Buckhead. For the next hour, we will explore important health topics for men and women, and we will take your calls live at 404-880-9255. Here's your host, Dr. Adrian Douglas.
Good evening, Atlanta. This is Dr. Adrian C. Douglas, and welcome to our first installment of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas for the new year, 2020. January, as you know, is a month of resolutions. Weight loss is probably the most common. After about 6 weeks of various celebrations, most of us find ourselves staring at the scales wondering, what happened? I tell you what happened. And really, it didn't just happen within the last couple of weeks. Approximately 40 years ago, America began its rapid ascent to its present status. Did you know that 70% of Americans are either overweight or obese? It is suspicious that the convergence of 25% increase in added sugar from sources such as high fructose corn syrup intentionally added to our processed food supply chain, and the decrease of physical activity in our society are contributing to this present alarming weight epidemic. Now, Atlanta, how much weight did you gain during this last month, this last year, and even this last decade? What's been your successes and failures with effective weight loss? We want you to join in our discussion about effective and sustainable weight loss by calling 404-880-9255. Now today, I have the pleasure of presenting our featured guest, Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin. She specializes in obesity medicine and is board certified in that specialty. She is also a fellow of the American Academy of Family Practice. Dr. Moore Ruffin, welcome to Drive Time. Please tell our listening audience about yourself, particularly your education and your practice.
Well, thank you, first of all, Dr. Douglas, for having me. I'm truly excited and honored to be here and looking forward to sharing some time with you and your guest as we talk about something that is very near and dear to me and I am actually very passionate about. As a primary care physician for a number of years, and now as a physician that specializes particularly in obesity as an obesity medicine specialist, I could do this talk all day long. Mm-hmm. So in terms of my training beyond 4 years of medical school and residency, which, by the way, I became chief resident in my residency program thereafter, worked with in the academic sector. I've worked in the private sector in leadership, integrative medicine. And I really found early on my passion for wellness, particularly in looking at root cause problems. And what that means is what's really going on? What's the bottom line? What's creating the problem? And there in residency began my interest and my intense desire to help people who are overweight and obese. And so I've really narrowed down my practice and spend the bulk of my practicing time working with people who have challenges with losing and maintaining a healthy weight. I have done some additional training with the American Board of Obesity Medicine. So I'm board certified as a specialist in that area. So much like a cardiologist or a neurologist or a kidney specialist, I am an obesity or weight loss specialist. And maybe a lot of people don't realize that that exists, but that is what I do in the context of wellness. So I say we're wellness focused and we're wellness based and weight loss focused.
This epidemic of overweight and obesity, this number, this 70%, I mean, is that shocking to you with what you've seen here in Atlanta and in your training years? I mean, is that a surprising value to you, in your opinion?
Actually, I'm not surprised by that. And in some communities, that number may actually be higher. And of course, in some communities, that's a little bit less. But we do see that there is a growing trend in the size of Americans across the board. And in fact, obesity is becoming an issue internationally. So I'm not surprised by that, but I am very, very concerned by that. And I'll tell you, with looking at how many people, 70% of Americans being obese, being either overweight, which we can talk about a little bit later, or obese, that is an epidemic. That in of itself is amazing. We should be rioting in the streets. Think about it. If 70% of people we knew over time would become would lose an arm or leg or would become blind. If 70% of people were blind, we'd be trying to figure out exactly why and what we could do about it. This is just as important because so many things are associated with or caused by or related to being overweight or obese that disease, illness, sickness, and poor quality of life are the things that come out of people being overweight or obese. So we've got to really take this thing seriously in the new decade.
Indeed. You know, as many as 70 different illnesses or medical conditions could potentially be related to being overweight and obese. You're listening to Drive Time on WCLK. I'm Dr. Adrian Douglas. On today's program, we're talking about managing your weight for better health. Our special guest, Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin, is present. You can join in the conversation with your question by calling 404-880-9255. Do we have to gain weight as we get older?
Do we have to? No. Do we tend to? Yes.
Yes.
Well, so I'm sure that was a setup.
Yeah.
But listen to the answer again. Do we have to? No. Do we tend to? Yes. And that happens for a number of reasons. Some of it is just the normal physiology of aging. But I like to denormalize or take some of that normalcy out of it, because a lot of times what I find with people as they get older, they accept that that's part of getting older. That is because we accept it as part of getting older. So when we really stop accepting that this is how it has to be and really take charge of that, it does not have to be that way. And we have a lot more say-so in how we get older. And in fact, I like to say there's one thing to get older. We all want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But aging is a different conversation, and we don't want to age even though we are getting older. And that's part of the premise of what happens with weight, because excess weight or fat can be very toxic to the body in a lot of ways. And so it kind of accelerates the process.
Yeah. You know, being overweight or having excess fat increases your inflammation that's going on in your body. And
right.
As you know, inflammatory responses or inflammation in general is the root cause of almost all the illnesses that we begin to talk about today and tomorrow and for the next, you know, couple of months or so. So certainly trying to get your ideal body weight as much as possible and as long as you can should be the goal for almost everyone.
Exactly. And one of the things, it's interesting you say that ideal body weight, and this is something that I have a conversation with when I'm talking with people in the office. The ideal body weight has become skewed. And a lot of times people think of the ideal body weight based in how they look or how they think they look or how they think others see them and how their clothes fit or what their size is. And so when we talk about ideal body weight, we're using a measurement. And for now, our best general practice measurement is BMI, body mass index. And when we talk about what ideal really looks like for most people, we are going to often have to explain that BMI is actually for everybody.
Okay. Well, we'll continue that conversation. We have William in Atlanta on the line. William, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas.
Douglas, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling in. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year. My question is just pretty much, you know, as you get older, I'm assuming that it takes twice as long to lose the weight as it did for you to gain the weight, and whether or not you guys had any recommendations for a quick start to losing weight in 2020.
There's a number of different things one can do. One, I can tell you as a rule, just beginning exercising. And when you say that, there's two different components, or there should be two different components. One should be some cardiovascular exercise, which burns calories, and then resistance training, which builds muscle mass. Importantly enough, as you build your muscle mass, you improve your basal metabolic rate. That's the amount of calories that you burn by just sitting down. And I often talk, speaking to a man, also that when you build your muscle mass or when you're doing resistance training, you tend to improve your testosterone level also, too. And that is metabolically active also. For some of us, when we go through a certain point in our life, andropause for men and menopause for women, then we tend to have hormonal changes which may impact our weight to a certain degree. But again, being ideally balancing your diet and being regular and consistent with your exercise are the fundamentals. Dr. Moore Ruffin, would you add some additional comments to that?
Absolutely. And with the jump start and how to lose weight quickly and all of those things, we know that for most people, the weight wasn't gained quickly. Now, there are people that will have spurts of weight gain. However, most people are going to gain, in certain communities, on average, about 7 to 12 pounds per year. A lot of people will. Certain communities, that number is a little bit lower. So we're talking about slow weight gain. So we probably should think about how we can pull those numbers down in a reasonable amount of time. I agree with you that physical activity is, or exercise, as many people call it, is really, really important. I find that physical activity in the capacity that people need to really move their weight typically happens more with maintenance. So it's going to take, as you mentioned, that consistency to really be able to see a difference. But a lot of times people give up short of that. Or I find that people aren't doing the right type of physical activity for what their body needs. So in essence, we're talking about how can we stimulate the metabolism. Absolutely, looking at the diet. You know, we used to think that calories in versus calories out, and that simple math was enough to explain how one could lose weight. In other words, eat less and exercise more. Well, we find that that is not actually 100% true. That in theory, that is the case. But there are so many other things outside of calories that influence weight gain and how the body will use fuel and how the body will store fuel. And so those are some of the things that I work with my patients with. So, of course, I agree with you, though, as a quick start and something you could do right away at home, definitely watching the things that are in your diet. And a big culprit is just eating out. Eating out is a big culprit.
Yeah, when you eat out, you lose control of the calories. Understandably, they're going to put everything, including the kitchen sink, in there because they want you to come back and spend more money. So, yeah, stop eating out, Atlanta. I would tell you, for the most part, stop eating out as much as you can. Try to bring it into the home where you can control exactly what's being placed in your diet. William, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Now, if you're just picking up, we're listening to Dr. Douglas on WCLK. Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Today's program, we're talking about managing your weight for better health. We have our special featured guest, Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin. Please call us at 404-880-9255. We'd love for you to be involved in this conversation. Are there regional differences in weight? I mean, when you talk about our country, we're down here, you know, in the South. And so, you know, in the South, there's a lot more of eating behaviors, you know, soul food and things like that. Is that different going out west to LA and the Bay Area or to the industrial Northeast or Midwest? I mean, what would you tell me about that for the most part? I know that our foods tend to be very dense and rich and it tastes good, but that's probably not good for us in the Southeast.
Oh, thank you. That's a really good observation and question. And the answer is yes, there are regional differences. I look at it like, you know, like a thermometer. you know how with fundraisers or a thermometer, you usually see the darkest color at the bottom. And as you're kind of rising up to the top, you see a different color. It kind of fades out. That's how I think about it when we look at the map in regards to obesity and the rates of obesity or having excess weight. So as we are in the South, that tends to be that denser or the more people in the South are going to be overweight, are overweight. And that's just a given. And as there are many things that disparity exists with people in the South when it comes to health, there tends to be more minorities in the South, which tend to have a lot more health disparities. In other words, the differences between minorities and majorities when we look at statistically speaking around health. So as we go upward, as we get to the Midwest, it gets a little bit better. Then we get up a little bit more to the East Coast and over to the full West Coast. We see that those numbers begin to drop. So, and some of that has to do with what movement is like. Some of it is what's eaten and cultural differences.
Great, great. Aza from Lawrenceville. Thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. And I apologize if I mispronounced your name. Thank you for calling.
Not a problem. It happens frequently. My name is actually Aze.
Aze. All right.
No,
indeed.
Actually, Aze with a V, not a Z. Z
okay.
Like Victor?
Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm Dr. Jada is my physician.
I was going to say, there aren't that many Aze's around here.
Very good.
And by happenstance, I tuned in.
Did we drop the call? Sorry. We're sorry, Aze. Call back. We're sorry. Certainly, that was, again, one of your patients. That was a wonderful notion for her to call in. And certainly, we love for her to turn back around and call back to us. So, again, if you're just listening, this is Dr. Adrian C. Douglas on Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. My featured guest is Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin. We're talking about the obesity epidemic and ways to manage it appropriately. Continue to listen to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Do we have Ave back on the phone? Ave, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the call, actually.
Uh-huh.
I just have a question.
Okay.
I wanted to know, would you indicate if there's a different method in terms of dropping the weight for male versus female?
Okay. It still gets down to the basics, you know, in terms of dietary management and regular and consistent exercise. Cardiovascular and resistance should be the foundations of it. You should get adequate sleep. You should get adequate hydration. Resistance training for guys, that may be a little bit more so with muscle mass, but for the most part, it's in my opinion, it's for the most part consistent. I'll ask my featured guest to see if there's any additional things that we may learn.
Ave, that's a great question. In other words, do men and women lose weight differently? And for that matter, do they gain weight differently?
They
do. And the answer is yes and yes to a large extent. Part of it does have to do with hormones. And the differences there. And then the differences in stature and how, generally speaking, men and women are kind of built or their frames. As Dr. Douglas mentioned earlier, muscle tends to give us a lot more profit for our effort. So with physical activity, even if that means just regularly moving around, a guy's going to burn more calories, use more energy from walking to the mailbox than a woman would in most cases. I have some of our patients that are giving them a run for their money, some of my fitness trainers, but that is one thing. And so when we begin to look at some differences, women also hormonally have different changes in their hormones during a month and then during a year and then during a lifetime. We have at least one or two extras that are in a different proportion compared to men when we think about estrogen and progesterone. So we have to take that into consideration and how that filters in women commonly have more thyroid conditions than men, so there's a hormone imbalance there. And there are a number of other hormones that influence weight loss and weight gain, for that matter, that tend to be different just based on body habits. And so women being childbearers, that's another thing that's a really, really big one. A lot of times I'm seeing women who have not lost pregnancy weight, so they add weight each time they become pregnant. If they do not get back to that pre-pregnancy weight within 12 months, they are more likely to be obese later on outside of pregnancy. So there are a number of things that we have to look at and a number of ways that we approach to kind of remedy or balance the playing field, if you will. And those are some of the things that I do in my medical specialty.
Ave, thanks you for calling Drive Time with Dr.
Great question.
Douglas. Absolutely, great question. It's that time for us to take a short break. You're listening to Drive Time on WCLK. I'm Dr. Adrian Douglas. Callers, stay on your line. If you have a question about tonight's discussion about managing your weight for better health, call us now at 404-880-9255.
Programming on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is made possible in part by MDVIP. Dr. Adrian Douglas, host of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, is an affiliated physician with MDVIP. He has practiced internal medicine at Piedmont Hospital for more than 20 years. Patients in his primary care practice take part in an annual wellness program. He offers same and next day appointments that start on time and last as long as needed. Dr. Douglas is also available by phone after hours. More information is available at mdvip.com.